Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Bruce Gillis established his career as a practicing physician focusing on patients with fibromyalgia. During his years as a physician, he observed that patients with fibromyalgia had a similar biomarker in their blood samples. From there, he became a medical researcher, entrepreneur, and launched Epigenetics, a biomedical company specializing in the development of diagnostic tests for complex medical conditions. Welcome, Bruce.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you today.
Oh, it's great to have you on the show. So can you tell us about fibromyalgia and how it has been diagnosed historically?
Historically, it was a process of elimination. A person would see a physician and complain of chronic fatigue, mental confusion, pain, lethargy, etc., and doctors would then take what really has been a process of years and thousands of dollars to put them through a battery of what we call rule-out tests to see if they had some exotic illness or rheumatic illness. That process ended up causing patients to be frustrated and physicians to believe that fibromyalgia was not a real illness. It was called a syndrome, a collection of symptoms. The average patient would spend 3 to 5 years and $5,000 to $15,000 through that process, and it ended up being a result of great frustration and disappointment. We changed that because we felt that there was a real illness here. In other words, there was there. And through our work at the University of Illinois College of Medicine, we're able to discover that indeed this is not a bogus affliction. It is dysfunction in certain types of white blood cells.
And how did you come to find that out?
What transpired is I was asked to evaluate approximately 17 patients who were filing for permanent and total disability claiming they had fibromyalgia. And it seemed to me that with such commonality in their symptoms, there probably was a common denominator. And we looked at what might be the reasonable explanation for a person to have symptoms literally from head to toe. And we centered on the body's immune system. And fortunately, we made the correct assumption. Our hypothesis was proven to be accurate.
Okay. And once diagnosed now that you can diagnose it from a blood test, how would you deal with fibromyalgia? What are the hopes for that?
Well, there's three questions that pertain to fibromyalgia, but pertain to every illness under the sun, which is A, what do I have? B, what caused it? C, how do we treat it and potentially cure it? And that's where our company is today. We have the fibromyalgia blood test. We call it the FMA test, which can confirm whether you have fibromyalgia. And the sensitivity or accuracy of the test is in the high 90s, so it's a very accurate test. If you take the test and test positively, we are encouraging people to allow us to do a genetic analysis because we suspect there's something in your DNA that is causing these white blood cells to be abnormal. So we are offering at no cost to the patient the ability to have this genetic survey done. And we're doing that in conjunction with the University of Illinois College of Medicine and UCLA. And thirdly, we're working with a professor at Harvard who's on the staff at the Massachusetts General Hospital. We have a vaccine trial that we're hoping to embark upon in the very near future, and we believe the vaccine should reverse the biology of fibromyalgia. And again, if a patient wants to participate in that, they can at no cost once they've had the fibromyalgia blood test and tested positively.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Can you explain epigenetics? Not everybody's familiar with that word.
Well, epigenetics means the following. The DNA that you have is not static. It changes over time. And as a consequence, the DNA can mutate. Certain genes can get turned on or turned off. It happens because of potentially exposures to various materials like UV rays, chemicals you may be exposed to, other experiences in your day-to-day life. So epigenetics means the change in DNA. So it's important for people to realize you just don't have the same DNA at age 50 that you had when you were born, for example, because of life's experiences and how they impact your DNA and the cells in your body.
Okay. Bruce, how are your patients currently treated that have fibromyalgia?
Well, currently, the only approved treatment is for the symptoms. There are two antidepressants that have been approved and one anti-seizure medicine. These drugs are called Cymbalta and Savella for the antidepressants, and Lyrica is the anti-seizure. They only work, however, in approximately 30% of patients, generally for less than 12 months. None have immune system benefits, so based upon our tests, we consider them more placebo-type drugs. And the other issue, too, is they all carry black box warnings, meaning you take them at your own risk. They increase the potential for you to commit suicide.
That doesn't sound good. Who's most likely to suffer from fibromyalgia? Is there a certain age group or males, females?
It had always been considered a female-centric disease, but as we've been doing our tests now for the last 5 years, it's not as swayed in one direction as before. It used to be thought to be 90% female. Now it's about 57 to 60% ladies. And it affects youths. We've tested children from age 9 and up, and it goes all the way through the geriatric population.
Okay. So have you seen anybody come out of it naturally, or is it pretty well a life sentence?
No, because we have to change the action of these types of white blood cells. And so far we haven't, but we have great hope for our vaccine trial because based upon publications, you know, in using the same vaccine, we have identified the fact that there's normalization in the production of the proteins that we know impact patients with fibromyalgia. So we have very high expectations that we will be able to reverse the biology of fibromyalgia with this vaccine.
That's exciting. Is that going to take years?
No, we don't think it will take years at all. The vaccine is actually been given for over a century. It's administered to over 100 million newborns in Africa and Asia to prevent tuberculosis. The vaccine is called BCG. It will be an inexpensive vaccine once it's made available. So we have great expectations, and it should not be burdensome or a high-risk type of vaccine to be applied to patients.
Okay. Would you consider fibromyalgia an autoimmune problem then if it's the white blood cells?
No, we don't think it's autoimmune. We think that it's a dysfunction in the body's immune system. In autoimmune, you're literally building up antibodies to parts of yourself. We don't see that in fibromyalgia at all. That compares to something like rheumatoid arthritis or lupus, where those are autoimmune illnesses. But we don't see fibromyalgia as being autoimmune at all.
Mm-hmm. And do you see people that have this have any kind of precursors in their life emotionally or like getting over exhausted? Is there anything else that you see coming through this?
No, we have not. We've heard a lot of things anecdotally, people saying, oh, I was involved in a car accident, or I had a major emotional experience. But we don't see that as being commonplace in the thousands of patients we've already tested. We find that there's a dysfunction here, whether it's because of an epigenetic change in the DNA or some other process we don't know yet, but that's why we're doing what we call Campaign 250. We're trying to recruit 250,000 patients to allow us to search their DNA looking for genetic markers that would explain why they developed the disease.
So, Bruce, if we have fibromyalgia patients out there listening, can they get a hold of you and be part of this?
Oh, yes, it's very easy. Our website is FM for fibromyalgia, fmtest.com. And all of the information is there. We encourage patients, if they have questions, to not only send them through emails, but they can call our telephone number. We're located in Los Angeles, and we usually respond within one business day. Oftentimes, it's I who will call. We also encourage physicians to come to the website and read the publications. Just to let you know the dramatic discovery we made, we won a national award from the world's most prestigious laboratory organization for excellence in clinical immunology. And our partners in the research are fairly major names. We've got, as I said, Massachusetts General Hospital affiliated with the Harvard Medical School, UCLA in Los Angeles, University of Illinois College of Medicine. All our research is done in conjunction with the assistance of major university medical centers.
Okay. Are there areas in the world that fibromyalgia is a whole lot more common, or is it climate-based?
No. We believe it affects 6% of the population.
Right.
And that means you're looking at over 500 million people in the world. And it does not, from our perspective, have, except for, as I already mentioned, a slight increase among women, it doesn't have a predilection by age or ethnicity or lifestyle or eating patterns, none of that.
Okay. Can you tell us a bit about the involvement of the medical research centers that have been engaged for this study?
Yes, well, they're all very eager. We have contractual and or partnerships with each of those medical centers. And the analysis, for example, the genetic analysis, if you participate in the study, your blood will either be going to UCLA or the University of Illinois. The part with the vaccine trial will be done at the Faustman Laboratory at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston.
Okay. What is the goal of this genetic study?
I'm sorry.
What is the goal of the whole genetic study?
Well, the whole genetic is the hope that we will identify a gene or gene mutation or pattern that will be common to patients with fibromyalgia, because that would give us another potential target for treatment.
Okay, because the treatments right now are pretty minimal. There's not too much to give, right?
As I said, are only for symptoms. They're not for the direct treatment of the disease. That is correct.
Okay. And this disease doesn't seem to go into remission. It just carries on and carries on?
Yes. Unfortunately, that is correct. It just seems to last. And unfortunately as well, a lot of people who have fibromyalgia become disabled. We've had, for example, a large group out of Canada arrange for the test, many of whom used our test results to receive permanent disability. Mm-hmm. We have never yet been rejected by a disability entity or agency when we have had a positive test result, because that proves that the patient indeed has a true medical illness with disabling connotations.
Okay. You worked with a lot of fibromyalgia patients. Is this something new in the last 20 years, 30 years? Have you seen a fibromyalgia like 40 years ago, 50 years ago? When did it start to happen? It's a new word. It's a new, like it was just an umbrella for symptoms. How long do you think it's been going on?
Well, back in the 1960s and 1970s, patients who had these symptoms were called neurotic, and the most commonly prescribed medication was a tranquilizer called Valium. In the 1980s, people instead changed it, it must be the side effect of a viral infection, and that proved to be incorrect. Then in the 1990s, it was implied to be nothing more than a syndrome. It wasn't a real disease. And unfortunately, that engendered a great deal of fibroskepticism. There are still many physicians who refuse to believe that it's a real disease, but it is. There's no question that you have an immune system dysfunction, and fibromyalgia is a misnomer. It's not a disease of the fibrous or connective tissue. It's not a disease of the muscles. It really should be called the immune dysfunction disorder, because it's dysfunction in critical cells in your body's immune system.
Fascinating. You know, we have to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to learn more about fibromyalgia.